بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار باب بيع العبد الزاني وقال شريح إن شاء رد من الزنا Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to the program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The subject matter for today is the sale of a slave that have committed zina. Although the issue is about slavery, from the hadith and from the principle that are deduced from this hadith, we could apply it on many contemporary issues. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slavery was in vogue and slavery was common. When wars used to take place, the captives and the prisoners of war, they were treated as slaves and were sold as slaves. Islam has absorbed the concept of slavery. And Islam has made modifications in the practice of slavery. Islam recognizes the ownership of slavery, where a master owned a slave, but at the same time Islam also condemns the abuse of slaves. And this is understood from many ahadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and many ayats of the Quran Kareem. In Bukhari Sharif there is one incident of Ma'rur ibn Suwayd rahmatullah alayhi. He met Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu in a place called Rabaza. Rabaza is a place not far away from Medina to Munawwara. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu resided there towards the end of his life. So Ma'rur ibn Suwayd rahmatullah alayhi saw Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala the master, and then he saw his slave. Both of them were wearing the same type of clothing. And he was surprised at that. That was unusual for the time where a master is wearing the same type of the clothing as a slave and the slave is wearing the same type of clothing like the master. So Ma'rur ibn Suwayd says, I inquired from Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, why is this? That why are you treating a slave like that? A slave should be treated like a slave. So Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala gave a background. And he said that inni sabaktu rajulan. He referred to another incident, an incident which took place with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That once I had verbally abused one person, and that person referred to in the hadith is Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I fa'ayyartuhu bi ummihi. I condemned him regarding his mother. So when the matter went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam condemned Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his attitude towards his slave, which was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, innaka imru'un fika jahiliyyah. You are a person that you still got the practice of the time of jahiliyyah in you. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that ikhwanukum khawalukum, your slaves, they are your brethren. Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made them under you. So treat them kindly, treat them with love, treat them with compassion. Feed them what you eat, clothe them what you clothe them with the clothes that you wear. And do not overburden them. And if you have to overburden them, help them and assist them in the work that you have given them. From this hadith, it is clear, it shows that in Islam, we recognize slavery, but abuse of a human being, abuse of a slave is haram and it is prohibited. Another incident mentioned in Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one woman, at the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she stole something. And she was convicted of that theft. Islamic law, if you steal something, your hand should be cut off. The woman of the tribe, they came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of the tribe, and they told to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spare the hand of that woman. We will pay so much of dinars in exchange of sparing her hand. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, no, her hand will be cut off. They came for the second time and they pleaded again. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, no, her hand will be cut off. Until finally when her hand was cut off, then she came up to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she told Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have stolen, my hand has been cut off. Is there any tawbah for me after my hand has been cut off? She told to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told to her that innaki al-yawm ka waladat ki ummuk. Your situation is such that by applying the law of Shariat on you, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has forgiven all your sins and you are like how your mother has given birth to you. Now from these incidents we understand that it is narrated in another hadith that the same woman, she used to come to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she used to, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to take her needs to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fulfill the needs of that woman as well. And that we will understand it more in the context of the hadith that we will be doing. In fact, Islam has encouraged to bring an end to slavery. If a person happened to commit any crime, does any wrong, then you have to give kafara, you have to give compensation. For example, if a person, he has to take an oath, and he does not fulfill that oath, they have to give a compensation for that oath. And one of the compensation for an oath, Allah says it in the Quran Kareem, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ. That you did not fulfill your oath, among the compensation one is free a slave. So you committed a crime, but Shariat says you free a slave. So this is a way of free, of getting rid of slavery. Likewise, if a person happened to commit a murder, and it was not a deliberate murder, it was a murder by mistake, by omission. There too, one of the compensation is فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةِ مُؤْمِنَةً, free a slave. Likewise, a concept of كَفَّارَةُ zihar is in the Shariat, where a person happens to liken his wife to the back of his mother. In a time of Jahiliyyah, in the pre-Islamic era, that constituted a type of divorce. So, if a person wanted to resume relationship with his wife, then there too, he has to give a kafara by freeing a slave, among other compensations. So, from all this we understand that in Islam, we recognize slavery, but at the same time, the abuse of slavery and abuse of a human being, it is haram and it is prohibited. Now the hadith that we are about to do, it is narrated from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَهُ يَقُولُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ إِذَا زَنَتِ الْأَمَةُ فَتَبَيَّنَ زِنَاهَا فَلْيَجْلِدْهَا وَلَا يُثَرِّبْ ثم إن زنت فليجلدها ولا يثرب ثم إن زنت الثالثة فليبعها ولو بحبل من شعر. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, he says that he heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person had a female slave and that female slave happened to commit zina, and the zina, either fornication, unmarried, or adultery if she was married, if that became very clear, that in the case of an unmarried situation, fornication, then she should be lashed. And she should not be reproached. It could either mean that don't only reproach her and confine it to reproach and don't punish her, or it could either mean that she should be punished and after she be punished, don't reproach her any further. Then if she commits zina for the second time, then lash her again. And don't confine it to reproaching her, or don't only reproach her and not punish her. And then if she commits zina for the third time, then sell her. Even if it means to sell her in exchange of a string made of only one hair. The subject matter of this hadith is this last part of the hadith, selling a slave. From this we understand that if a person has a slave, you can sell the slave. Here one famous question arises, that if a person got a female slave, there's a defect in her. She's committing zina. Now how can you sell something that is defect? In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. That the person's iman is not complete until you don't love for your brother what you love for your own self. Now, if a person got a female slave that is committing zina, if the slave is not good for you, why should it be good for the next person? So you're not supposed to be selling such a slave. The muhaddiseen have given an answer, two answers. Maybe the master is such of this female slave that he has no control over her. Had he had control, proper control over her, she probably wouldn't have committed zina. Maybe when she sold to someone else, she may have another stronger, firm master that will be able to control her. Or another explanation could be that this female slave, she's here by this master, that environment where she's staying, it actually induces her to commit the zina, evil and immoral acts. And this female slave, if she's sold to someone else, probably there'll be a change of mahol, change of environment, and in that pure environment, she will desist from a wrong and evil act. Now the masla and the principle that we deduce from this is the selling of something that has a defect in it. In principle, if a person sells an item that has a defect in it, anything for that matter, it may be a motor vehicle, or it could be food-related items. It could be a machine. To sell anything that has a defect in it is not jais until you don't tell to the purchaser and disclose the defect in front of the purchaser and tell him, I'm selling you this item, but this is the defect in the item. You should not conceal the defect and sell it to a person and mislead the person. Now, if a person sold an item that has defect and the person happened to purchase it, and then they realize that he's been deceived, he became a victim of deception, then Sharia gives him a recourse. In an Islamic country, you can go to the court and you can ask for the transaction to be annulled. And you have the right to go to a seller and show to him that you have become a victim of deception. You have the right to return the item. But if you have divulged, you exposed, you showed that there's a defect in the item, and now you sold that item, now it will be permissible, like in this particular case, where the person will say that this female slave of mine has a defect, has a weakness, has a shortcoming, but I wish to sell it. Now the person purchases it, the transaction will be valid, and the income and the proceeds of such and such a sale will be permissible, and it will be halal. The second subject matter for today, Babu Shira wal Bay' ma'an Nisa. To purchase and to do buying and to do selling with women. The purpose of this subject matter is, it is permissible for one to transact with the opposite gender. a male with a female with the male. But under the same subject matter, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi alludes to another important point. And that is, he alludes to the propriety rights of a woman. That means, in Sharia, a woman has the right of ownership. And a woman also have a right of managing her own wealth. In many places, there's a misunderstanding, a misconception that a woman cannot own anything, or if she has any wealth, then she cannot manage her own wealth. And this is a misconception. According to Sharia, Sharia recognizes the propriety rights of a woman, and if a woman has wealth, she has the right to manage her own wealth. Yes, of course, there are other overarching principles in how she should do business, and what are the terms and conditions for that? Now, a woman having propriety rights, that's understood from various angles of the Sharia. One is from the laws of inheritance. If a person happened to pass away, then his heirs become the owners of his estate according to the rules and regulations that Sharia has stipulated. Now we know that estate and the ownership rights in inheritance is given none other than by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself is giving the shares to the heirs. Now, you look at the woman from so many different angles. Allah himself is giving woman ownership of shares of the deceased relative. For example, if a person happened to pass away and he leaves a daughter, leaves only one daughter, half the estate of that person goes to that one daughter. And this is given by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself. Or if a person has two daughters, two-thirds of the estate goes to the daughters. If a person has millions, count, put the numbers together, it will go either to the one daughter, or it will either go to her two daughters. Or, if a person passes away, son passes away, and he survived by his mother. The mother, if there's the person that passed away leaves no children, the mother will get one-third of the estate. And if the person leaves children, the mother will get one-sixth of the estate. Yeah, again, it's a woman, but Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself is giving woman the propriety rights and ownership. If a person, husband passes away, he's survived by the wife. If the person has children, the wife will get one-eighth of the estate. The person has no children, the wife will get quarter of the estate. Again, it's a woman, but Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is giving to her. And not only that, to the extent a jadda, whether it's a nani or dadi, maternal grandmother or paternal grandmother, in both instances, depending on the overarching principles of inheritance and succession, even the paternal grandmother or maternal grandmother will also inherit. Even the sister, if we say paternal, if it's a blood sister, she will get. If she's a maternal sister, she will get at all times. And if it's a paternal sister, what we call Allati sister, again, based on the overarching principles of inheritance, she will also inherit. So many different angles and dimensions, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself is giving woman ownership of wealth. Second, you look at the laws of mehr, dowry. Allah Ta'ala himself says in the Quran Kareem, that, oh you men, you wish to get married, then seek woman antabtahu bi amwalikum. Your wealth, you go give it to the woman and make her the owner of it. And according to Sharia, when dowry is given to the woman, it's her sole independent right. To the extent that the fuqaha have mentioned that if a person promised to give his wife a certain amount of money in dowry and he did not give it to her, she can avoid excess of her husband towards her. In Tirmidhi Sharif, there's an incident mentioned. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, it was a turn of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to her. And every wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should take pride when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and live with them. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, another wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she cooked some food and she sent the slave with the food to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was upset. It's my turn to honor Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why did another wife send food? when it is my turn. So the slave that was holding the container, Hazrat Aisha hit the hand of the slave and the whole container fell down. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was right there. Now look at the akhlaq. On one side, the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam simply just bent down. He collected the food. He collected the broken container. And then he said simply, Gharat ummukum, gharat ummukum. Your mother has been taken by over-possessiveness. Your mother has been taken by over-possessiveness. That was the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu understood the nature and the attitude of Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. But at the same time, Hadha Aisha broke a container for woman. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a container from the house of Hadha Aisha and sent it to the house of the other wife. They showed propriety rights is also recognized by Sharia and recognized by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hadha Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was traveling with Hadha Sarah radiallahu anha. He was traveling somewhere and there was a king of that place that had an evil intention. Tried to have an immoral access towards Hazrat Sarah. And he was unsuccessful. Then the king gave a gift of Ajar to Sarah. So Ajar, or call it Hajra, she was actually given to Sarah. And then she then gave Sarah as a gift to, she gave Ajar as a gift to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So she was the owner of Sarah was the owner of Ajar and she gave it as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the famous incident of Hadar Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, wa lal akhiratu khayrun laka min al ula. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam's condition in the past, he was poor, he didn't have anything. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made him rich and wealthy through Hadar Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala. She was a businesswoman and she had a lot of wealth. And after she married Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she sacrificed all her wealth and gave it to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So from all these angles and dimensions we understand, Sharia recognizes the propriety rights of a woman. Now that is one angle, that a woman can have wealth and she has the right of managing her wealth. But there are overarching principles to that. One overarching principle is that it's not like what the West have done to the woman. They have taken the woman and just put them into the conventional world and made them lose all their moralities. That they may earn the wealth, but they lose their morals. Sharia doesn't permit that. If a woman has to do business, it must be preserving the laws of hijab, preserving the laws of parda, and with those principles, a woman can do the business. Secondly, when a woman does a business, not only in her case, but any person that had obligations in Sharia, obligation to fellow human beings, they must not falter in the obligations to each other. If a woman is rich and wealthy, she wants to manage her wealth, she's a married woman, she may do so by all means, but without faltering in her obligation in her marital duties. So these are some of the rules and principles. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions an incident here. There's one more point that we'll notice. Imam Bukhari presents that it is permissible for a man to deal with a woman to deal with a man when it comes to muamalat and business. But at the same time, we should also understand that that is when there's extreme need and necessity. And every person has his nafs with him. No person is free from his nafs. When there's an electric wire, live wire, you touch that live wire, most definitely you're going to get shocked. Now, in business, sometimes you will have a nice good-looking secretary, or you probably will have a nice good-looking accountant, and then from there, sometimes they come up with makeup, with lipstick, fragrance, everything, and now you are dealing with them. So now I'm just dealing with business-related issues, but at the same time, every human being, every person is attracted to opposite gender. A male is attracted to the masculine quality, to a feminine quality of a female, and a female is also attracted to masculine qualities of a male. So no person can say that no, that I'm dealing with the opposite gender, my heart is pure and clean. When you got a live wire, and you're going to touch that live wire, you are going to get shocked. Likewise, my marhum father used to tell us, he used to teach us that, you know, when you have butter and you place the butter by the fire, it is definitely going to melt. Now, when a woman is there exposing all her beauty, then what kind of taqwa iman you must have for you not to melt? So therefore, it's very, very important that we need to consider all this. And it is so unfortunate that we have so many incidents in the business sector that people interacting with women in the business sector, sometimes there's a need, but there are certain rules and regulations for that. And to the best of one's ability, one should avoid. One is to fulfill your business need. More important than that is to fulfill your imani need. To see that your iman does not get contaminated. You don't lose your morals. You don't lose your principles. So many houses, marriages have broken up just because of that. And how many homes have marriage-related problems because of that? The husband comes home, the wife realizes that this has happened and that has happened. Sometimes it is true, sometimes it is suspicion, but no man should give his wife any room for suspicion as well. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself also mentioned, ittaqu mawadhi' at-tuhum. Anyway, the hadith is, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah present the riwayat. قال عروة بن الزبير قالت عائشة دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكرت له فقال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اشتري وأعتقي. A little background of this riwayat before we conclude quickly on this, that there was a woman by the name of Barira radiallahu ta'ala, she was a female slave, and Mughith radiallahu ta'ala was also a slave. Mughith radiallahu ta'ala was married to Barira radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha bought out Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha. And according to the custom in the time of Jahiliyyah, the person that owned the slave, if the slave happened to pass away, even after being freed, if there are relatives, then whoever the closest relative, they are entitled to inheritance. You could call him the Zawil Furuz, then you call it the Zawil Arham, then you call it the Asabad, the different categories of inheritance. But if there's no one to inherit, and the master that has freed the slave, he's the only one that's alive, or she's the only one that's alive, then he or she will inherit from the inheritance of the slave that has been freed by him or her in some time of the life. The same thing happened with Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She bought on Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha. But the people that sold Barira to Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they told to Hadha Aisha, we sell you Barira, but the wala, the inheritance of this woman, should she pass away one day and there's nobody to inherit her wealth, then we, the one that sold the slave to Barira, to Hadha Aisha, we will be entitled to inheritance. So Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, no, that condition they are putting is invalid, it is incorrect. You conclude the deal and that wala, that inheritance of that woman, should she pass away one day, will go to you and not to the one that sold it. So that's a riwayat Imam Bukhari presents. فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ اِشْتَرِي وَأَعْتِقِي. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hadhrat Aisha, purchase Barira and free her. فَإِنَّمَا الْوَلَى لِمَنْ أَعْتَقِ. Wala, the inheritance of that woman that had been purchased will be for that person that freed the slave. Summa qama Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-ashi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up at night just to correct the people. When you come to muamalat and dealings, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa corrected it even in the masjid. Here the muamalat and dealing is taking place, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in the masjid. Fa asna ala Allahi bima huwa ahlu. He praised Allah, he glorified Allah. Summa qal amma ba'du. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the sahaba and he told to them, he corrected the muamala, the dealing in the masjid, and he told him, ma ba'lu unasin yashtarituna shurutan laysa fi kitabillah. Now what is the matter with people that in the transactions, in the muamalat, in the dealing, they're putting such conditions in the dealing that is not in the kitabullah, that is, it is not compliant with the sharia. وَمَنْ اِشْتَرَتَ لَيْسَنْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And that person who put a condition that is not in the kitabullah, that is not in compliance to the rules and regulations of the sharia, فَوَ بَاطِلٌ. That is, batil is spurious and it is invalid. وَإِنْ اِشْتَرَتَ مِعَةَ شَرْتٍ. Even though the person may put 100 conditions, it will not be accepted. Shartullah ahaqqu wa awthaq. The condition of Allah, in terms of doing our muamalat, our dealings, etc., the laws of Allah, the condition of Allah, are more deserving and more reliable to be followed upon and to be practiced upon. From this we understand Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected the Sahaba when it came to muamalat, when it came to dealing, that all your muamalat and your dealing should be according to Sharia. May Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on the sunnat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, teaching of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and put all our muamalat correct and in order. I mentioned it repeatedly that it's very easy for a person to perform salah, very easy for a person to fast, to make zikr. The challenge of a person's taqwa is in his pocket, in his money, in his muamalat and his dealing. To see that how you fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in your muamalat, in your dealings, Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka.